listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to a game day edition. Hopefully in the future we'll get to do this many more times throughout the year. The Browns' only primetime game this year, tonight, Thursday in Cincinnati. I'm live down here at the team hotel as the Browns prepare to go into the jungle and come away with a win. Hopefully sending the Bengals fans calling for an SOS because it's been a dog pound invasion. And the Browns come down here and get this win and get to 6-3. That will be awesome. And speaking of getting to see the Browns, don't miss the excitement and action live at First Energy Stadium. Now is the very first chance to secure your Cleveland Browns 2015 season tickets by placing your deposit today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 for more information. It is a call your shot Thursday. We want to hear what you think is going to happen when the Browns and Bengals do battle. I'm down here in Cincy, Matt Wilhelm back in Cleveland. And Matt, tonight, if the Browns win, first of all, what are you doing to watch the game? You just chilling at home? You going out? What are you doing?
I am chilling at home. The kiddies will be in bed. My wife and I will cozy up on the couch, rooting on those brownies.
Rooting on, here we go, Brownies.
Here we go, the kid we said. Brownies.
Yes. If the Browns win, I think you need to go head down to East 4th and rock it out, because I'll tell you what, the Cincinnati town last night, very disappointing. I was disappointed with the what was put forth by the people of Cincinnati last night.
Yeah, I think everything Cleveland is up and up, man. We got East 4th, we got LeBron, we got the East Bay,
rockin'.
The Flats is actually rocking again now. We got the Brownies above 500 at the mid-season point. It is exciting to be from Cleveland.
Yes, it is. That's right. And no matter what happens today, they'll still be above 500. But hopefully they will be at a position where they've got twice as many wins as they do losses at 6-3. Let's go to Vince now in Cincinnati talking about this game. Vince, welcome to CBD.
I think it's going to be a tough one for the Browns to win. Messy weather. I just don't think, man, I don't know, Hoyer's getting a lot of credit, but I don't think he's tough enough for this game.
Oh, I don't know.
You don't
know
think
about
he's
that.
Tough enough for this game?
He's not tough enough for this game.
Well, he's only played the Bengals once, and he's beaten them.
Hey, you better get Johnny in there tonight.
And you're saying, from what you've seen of Johnny in three plays, he's tough enough?
He's not tough enough.
Johnny's not tough enough?
No.
No, no. What do you mean by that? Can you explain that? What do you mean by that? I'm curious.
He's not. I mean, everything got to be perfect for Hoyer to have a success. Now, you complain about losing the center now. The running game is not good. Hoyer's not the guy that's going to be tough enough to win this game with the condition that the Cleveland is playing with right now. That's what I mean.
So an interesting point, an interesting take on it. I would say that Brian Hoyer has shown, if anything, that even when he doesn't have his center and when he doesn't have, a running game, as I pointed out, that interesting fact about the Browns being the only team to win back-to-back games averaging less than 2 yards per carry in 63 years. That's a stat Andrew Siciliano tweeted out. Browns are the first NFL team in 63 years to win consecutive games, averaging under 2 yards per carry. So I don't think Brian Hoyer can only win when everything is perfect. I think he's proven that he can win when it's not, and he finds a way to kind of make that big play when it matters, and that's what he has done. So I think that Brian Hoyer is tough. I don't think toughness is really, if you ever have a question about Brian Hoyer, I don't think it's about toughness. I don't think it's about resiliency. I don't think it's about being a competitor. I think it's a matter of, ultimately it's what's his physical talent ceiling and how accurate can he be with the football. I think those are the issues. Toughness is not a question in my mind whatsoever.
Not a question at all, Nathan. And what's surprising to me is, again, as you said, averaging below or at or around 2 yards per carry, he's had to improvise, by throwing the football probably more than he would like without that run game. And then also, too, just from a toughness standpoint, if he wants to use, it's going to be ugly out as an excuse. He's from Cleveland. He plays football outside in Cleveland. He went to Michigan State and played outside in Cleveland. Johnny Manziel, his backup, just to reference him, nothing against him, but played in great, spectacular weather, in domes down in Texas and throughout the SEC. So if anybody's not ready for this, it would be the rookie quarterback who has three plays to his name right now and plays in, comfy atmospheres in and around the Texas area and down in the SEC.
Yeah, that's not happening anyway. Dino in the truck. Call your shot here on this primetime game.
Hey, I wasn't going to call, but when I heard that knucklehead on the other line, earlier say that Brian Hoyer isn't tough enough, I don't know what this kid got to do to prove himself, but I'll tell you what, all I see from him from all these games that he's played is that he's over-exceeding himself as being a tough. He's throwing the ball. I don't know what else. He takes a hit in the pocket. You know, he's calm. You know, I mean, what is this guy, a stupid dust or something? Are they that blind that they can't see that this kid is tough and he got heart?
I agree with you. I think that's what he has. I think it's the intangibles of Brian Hoyer that have allowed him to be so successful, and I think it's the intangibles of Brian Hoyer that have allowed him to really come in and be the leader of this team. You may say that you don't think he's the most talented quarterback, or you don't think that he's a guy that can put an offense on his back like a Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. There's a reason why those guys are as well paid and as well thought of as they are, because they're rare.
That's right. And even listening to Ray Farmer speak the other day in his middle of the season press conference, he talked about those attributes that Brian Hoyer has that puts this team in a situation to win football games, and that he's lived up to a certain amount of expectation. He hasn't exceeded by any means in Ray Farmer's eyes, but he's getting what he wants out of the quarterback position right now with Brian Hoyer at the helm.
With Brian Hoyer at the helm, the Browns 5-3, 8-3 with him as a starter overall. Let's go back to the phone lines. Now we've got Andre in Detroit. Andre, welcome to CBD.
Hey, gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. The only way I think the Browns will win this game if they run the ball successfully, and I think they should go to Ben Tate with the running game. Based on the history of when he was playing for Houston, he had a decent game against the Bengals defense.
So you think you want to see Ben Tate be the main guy?
Be the main guy to help Brian Hoyer to set up for the play. Set up play action play.
I think we're going to see, you know, as I think about it and I think about this team, I think there's a good chance that we're going to see tonight. First of all, I do think Andrew Hawkins is going to try to play tonight. We'll see. He's going to be a game-time decision when he gets out there, but I know how much it means to him to be back here in Cincinnati. But I think as it relates to the ground game, I thought we saw maybe a move to Terrence West, and I do think we will see some Isaiah Crowell. I think there's just been too much talk about it, too much buzz about it from the media and from, of course, Coach Pettine saying he'd like to see Isaiah Crowell get more run, that I think we're going to see that. It's going to be interesting to see how they kind of move it around. And Matt, don't you think it's interesting that the last few national people we talked to about this were kind of all the position that, hey, Crowell might be the most talented running back on the roster. Give them all some carries and then pick a hot hand and go with it.
I agree. And I think that is going to be the case, because this is a defense, again, missing their two top inside linebackers, most efficient and most productive linebackers as well within this defense. And again, as you and I dove into those stats yesterday, I think five of their top eight tacklers are corners, nickel, or safeties as well. So
good.
That means a lot down the field. Exactly. A lot of running backs are breaking through that first level, and that second level is having to make those plays. And I do believe that I would like to see Isaiah Crowell, because I think that momentum in this game, that this team of playmakers here in Cleveland, with Whitner and Dansby and Kruger defensively, and Hoyer and Hawkins and Gabriel, down and throwing the football, and these running backs, that if we can break a run and build some confidence in that run game, I think that's the one thing we're lacking, is a 12, 15, 20, 25-yard run would build so much confidence, I think, in the offensive line's mind, because they're like, okay, whew, we fixed it. We've overcome that hurdle. We've got some production. And I do believe that whoever has the high hand is the guy you give it to. But ultimately, you and I both know that the home run threat, not wear you down or, put a juke move on you type of threat, is Isaiah Crowell. So I would love to see him get at least 10 carries, because if it is going to be ugly, the ball is not going to be in the air as often, and we're going to depend on those three runners.
And as you talked about, both inside linebackers expected to be out for the Bengals this week, Burfict and Malaga, both out. That's why they're right now 30th against the run, 140 yards per game, 30th in total overall defense, 395 yards per game. The Browns have an opportunity, I think, to start getting back to gashing it with the run. That's what we need to see them do, and hopefully they will do just that against the Bengals and set up that good play action game. Let's go now to Chris in Cincinnati. Chris, welcome to the show.
How are you guys doing?
Listen, good, man.
Good.
I'm going to be at the game today.
Good.
Huge Browns fan. And I just got to point out that I listened to that caller say that Brian Hoyer wasn't tough enough. That guy is crazy. All the kid does is win. Cleveland said it. He's 8-3 as a Browns starter, counting this season and last season. This kid is a winner, okay? He He is a winner, and I cannot wait to see him drive down the field and beat the Bengals tonight in Cincinnati. Go Browns.
Boom.
Go Browns. I like that. He got fired up, cut a little bit of a promo there at the end. And, yeah, as I said before, and I think, you know, I like that it's actually that caller touched a nerve with everybody, Matt. And you know, it'd be interesting. You know, you as a former player, I think, are better able to comment on you know, the perception of toughness. But you would imagine in the Browns locker room, there's no questioning the toughness of Brian Hoyer.
No, there's not. And also, too, as you see time and time again in the NFL, you know, quarterbacks get hit repeatedly, and you may see a series or a play where a backup may come in. And we've seen that in the past here as well. And I think now more so than ever within this scheme, you know, yes, Brandon Whedon and Colt McCoy and all those other guys must got sacked a lot. But Brian Hoyer's not getting sacked all that often. But also, too, is because many of those bootlegs and naked bootlegs that he's running in that play action pass scheme that we have, he's taking a lot of hits, you know, and he's able to get right back up, walk back into the huddle as a leader, incomplete or complete to those receivers, and get back in the huddle and make the play and acts as if it doesn't even faze him moving forward. So toughness to me is not a question, as I talked about. That's why the weather will not be a question. You know, he's played in it at Ignatius. He's playing at it up in Michigan State. He's been and dealt with the elements before as a player. So for him to use that as a crutch to hang on to for the fact that it's going to be a tough game for him is out of my mind.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. All right, we're going to keep it on the phones right now. 216-578-0850. Colin in Cincinnati as well. What's going on, Colin?
Hey, so I'm going to preface this call by saying that I'm a new Bengals fan. I just moved to Ohio. This has been my third time Bengals experience. You guys have to talk about the quarterbacks, but I think you're spot on. This game's going to be won in the trenches of the running backs. How do you think the Browns are going to be able to stop Jeremy Hill? This guy looked amazing last week, had another good game beginning of the season. The Browns gave up over 100 yards to Denard Robinson, and he was playing quarterback 2 years ago. I think that's where the game's going to be. It doesn't matter.
Nah, I agree with you. I think for the Browns to win defensively, the key is to stop the run and put the game in Andy Dalton's hands, because I think ultimately Joe Hayden plays A.J. Green very well. I think you'd have an opportunity to shade some coverage and help Buster Screen out there over on Mohamed Sanu, and then they don't really have that third option in the game. Greg Little, please. They don't have a tight end that scares me. Jermaine Gresham's averaging 7.5 yards per catch. So I think that is the key, and it's going to be a tall task. Listen, the thing that gives me confidence is that in 2 weeks in a row, Browns have found a way as the game has gone on to completely stop the run. They did it against the Oakland Raiders, and they did it against Tampa. Bobby Rainey was running wild in the first half, only 7 yards rushing in the second half. Jeremy Hill, listen, took a lot of carries last week, ran for over 154 yards. He's impressive, a young guy, but he's got to turn around and do it again without Giovanni Bernard, so he's got to be a little bit banged up. The Browns need to be able to stop the run, and the guy who has to step up, the guy who has to start playing at a level commensurate with his salary and make a huge impact and really kind of pay that back, because I don't think he's been as good as he should have been so far this season. I know he's battled an injury, but I want to see more, and that's Ataba Rubin. I think Ataba Rubin is the guy. If he decides to come out and be angry and use his technique and stay low and keep leverage and eat up space in the middle of that defense, the Browns are going to be much more effective stopping the run. A lot of it, though, is going to depend on what he is able to do in tonight's game.
You're right about that, Nathan. And I think Ataba Rubin, we hope, as we talked about yesterday when I got called a bad word, is another guy who we hope...
You've arrived, man.
I have arrived. Who thrives in this prime time opportunity to showcase his ability. Because, again, as you said, he is not only making a lot of money here in Cleveland and essentially stealing because of his lack of production, but also, too, this is an opportunity for guys who might not be a part of this picture moving forward to showcase their talents to everyone else in the NFL, that, you know, general managers and scouts and other players will be watching this game and their attention will be turned towards this matchup. But I also do agree with what you said, is as our defense has got deeper and deeper into a game, we've played the run excessively better, whereas a guy like Jeremy Hill, and this is where the battle will truly happen, is he, after watching the game last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, he got more productive as the game wore on as well, kind of finding out their spots and executing the game plan. So he had his best runs and best game in the second half against the Jaguars, which is when we play our best football stopping the run.
That's right. Let's go, Browns. When we come back, you guys are fired up here for the Battle of Ohio. The Browns winners of two of the last three against the Bengals, but have not won on the road in years down here in the jungle. Tonight, they are going to change that. Welcome to the jungle. It's going to be a lot of fun and games. for the Cleveland Browns, hopefully in prime time with the eyes of the nation upon them. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, we'll be back with more of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, still to come at 1:45. We'll check in with Jeff Hobson, covers the Bengals for Bengals.com. We also hear from the head coach of the Browns at 2, and I guess we got the kid in Cincinnati ready to take in the game along with Eric Hurwitz, the Grizz. A bunch of my boys are down here, Red Hot, Peter Smith, Q. Everybody's down here to take in this big game for the Brownies, so be a part of it here on the radio right now on ESPN 850 WKNR.